One of our regulars is joining us now, Dean Bulldog Richie. How are you, Bulldog?
Yeah, good morning, man. How are we?
Going all right, mate. Now, we're just taking a bit of a trip down memory lane this morning, in fact, and talking about some of the moments that changed sport. And well, it's 25 years today, Bulldog. April 1, 1995, the Super League war really erupted in earnest. What are your memories of the day?
Yeah, I was a young-ish bloke, Jared. I remember I was in the office. It was a Saturday. And all hell broke loose. That's about the only way you can put it. There were phone calls. There were players ringing in. There were managers. I remember the front page of the Sunday Telly had about 50 players, headshots right across the page, just saying stars flocked to Super League. But, of course, within hours of that, the return serve came through the ARL, Packer and Optus. And what happened over the next 2 to 3 years, I guess, some will say revolutionise the game, others will say it ruined the game, but I guess it's up to the individual as how they want to judge Super League. But in terms of the question you're going to ask me, guys, as in the biggest events, quite clearly the two revolutions which you've touched on, World Series Cricket and Super League, but three others I've come up with in the last 15 minutes. Cathy Freeman in Sydney was one of the great iconic moments.
Yep, yeah.
I think you'll find the Socceroos in 2005.
John Aloisi.
Yep.
Qualifying, John Aloisi. And maybe one that's a bit close to Pup's heart, I think the ball of the century from Shane Warne, which it was up in Manchester, if I'm right, Michael. That almost changed.
Was it Manchester or Lords?
No, it was Manchester, 1993.
Manchester, was it? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
unbelievable. Well,
I guess you'd say the emergence of Warne that day, albeit he had been around.
Changed his life, Warne says. Warne says that one delivery changed his life.
Yeah, yep. And probably the path Australian cricket took for the next 15 years, Michael.
Hey, Bulldog, yep, with Super League happening and news being a part of Super League, as a journalist working there, did you guys get a bit of a heads up on what was going to go down on that particular day, or was it just rock up into the office and bang, it's just on your table, go and chase this story?
I think a few of the senior blokes at the time knew, Laurie. I was only a youngish bloke then, so I wasn't probably privy to the whole thing. But Buzz Rothfield, who's on this show on Mondays, I think Buzz might have got a heads up, as did the legendary Peter Frelingos, who, of course, is no longer with us. But I think they were more in the know than I was back in those days. We never really got an edict. Everyone always says that, oh, you were told what to write, but we weren't told what to write. Well, certainly I wasn't. The only thing that we were basically told at the time from memory was that just if something is said, just make sure that, you know, that Super League has a say in the story, which I guess you could argue for any story to keep it balanced. We were accused of being biased towards Super League. And look, you could argue that may have been the case, guys, but when you're writing, it was a very difficult situation. You're writing about a story that your company is involved in. You're hardly going to go in there and kick it, are you? Otherwise, let's be honest, you wouldn't have a job the next day. So we had to be very careful. We had to be very measured. But we also had to be very sensible.
And we're going through another one of those seismic times at the moment. And just reading your article you wrote yesterday about what the new life in Clubland is going to look like post-coronavirus, Bulldog, what hit home for me was when an official said it'll look like we've gone back to 1993. And it really will, judging by those measures that they're going to have to take.
Yeah, football clubs, Jared, have a football department salary cap of about 5.8, which covers all their admin, coaching, etc., and staff. Look, that figure may now go back to about 3.5. So coaches have been told already that their football staff may be decimated a bit over the top, but it will certainly be cut back significantly. I think you'll find that maybe the playing roster, we have 30 players, that might come back now to 25, 26. I think you'll find there'll be at least 4, 5, 6, 7 people from every football department across all 16 clubs that have to be terminated. That's another 100 jobs that go out of the game. But one of the interesting ones I found in that story, Jared, was the fact that several CEOs said to me yesterday, essentially, that the days of the $1 million coach are now gone. They've got to head back to, say, $600,000-$700,000. So the big money and, quoting one CEO, the luxuries of our game are now going.
Mm. And the thing that concerns me too, Bulldog, is obviously, you know, the top end will always survive, but it's the grassroots and it's the secondary competitions that are going to pay a massive price as well. And we were lucky enough to talk to Panthers Group CEO yesterday, Brian Fletcher, and, you know, they just won't be able to afford to have teams in all these different competitions that they've been, that the game's provided over the last, you know, 40, 100 years. And that's going to hurt everyone at the grassroots level.
Yeah, I heard that interview, Laurie. It was quite fascinating. And in turn, I picked the phone up and rang Brian, and he went through all the teams that they've got a field at Jersey Flegg, Canterbury Cup, Harold Matthews, SG Ball, Andrew Johns Cup, Laurie Daly, Tasha Gale, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, there's just no way. It would be quote-unquote financial suicide to be thinking that we could somehow field seven again. So, look, there's probably two, three, even four of those sides that just will not be around next year. One other thing, two guys in that story this morning, that teams flying interstate used to go there two nights before games. That will now go. It'll be one night. The amount of players and officials on planes going to state will be cut back. No more gravy train trips for directors. Some have four, five assistant coaches. That's now gone. It'll probably come back to one or two. So the whole landscape is changed, and it will probably put us back, as I said in that story, Jared, 15 to 20 years. But you know what? Some people aren't that concerned. Maybe the gravy train is over and it's back to a ratio at each club of officials and staff that the game needs. Another interesting point, guys. A CEO said to me yesterday, you know, that we may have to now ignore some of the stuff that high-performance people tell us, that, you know, players must go first class. They have to do this. They have to do that. They might have to get back in economy like the rest of us, and high-performance people who cost a lot of money to offer up advice that some people don't always believe in may go as well.
Bulldog, it seems that the players versus the NRL is just slowly drifting apart. Is that a fair call?
Yeah, it is, Michael. There's no doubt. Look, the players are looking at a 72% pay cut for the year. The two grievances they have are that the NRL has squandered so much of the broadcast money over the past decade. It took $182 million to get the game on the field last year, which is just absurd when you think about it. I will say one thing, though. There's a lot of dissension out there toward Todd Greenberg taking 25% pay cut. But to be fair to Greenberg, guys, he is still working through this entire period. And while he's working, I think maybe 25% is acceptable in some areas. Once all this is sorted, and that'll probably happen in the next day or two, Greenberg will then more than likely go on leave without pay. So I think having a crack at Todd for the 25% while he's working is probably a little harsh.
Mm. Bulldog, do you know what will happen to players if they've got longer-term deals? And, you know, we read the other day that Tyson Frizzell is committed to going to Newcastle at the end of this season. Where do the players stand in terms of their contracts moving forward?
Well, Laurie, you'd have to think that every contract is now, or could be now, deemed null and void. Not just the players who are off contract or have just signed new deals, but what about every contract in the game is signed for an amount? For example, Boyd Cordner, $500,000 a year. I've just made that up off the top of my head. If the salary cap is slashed by 40%, which we think it will be close to, Boyd Cordner may now not get his money. It may have to come back a bit. The salary cap this year is 9.8. It was supposed to go to 10 million even in 21 and then 10.2 in 2022. Now there's suggestions it may come back to 6 million. Now that is going to save the game an incredible amount of money across the board, around $65 million. So look, something is going to have to give with every contract. I think every player is going to have to share in that somehow to keep this game going ahead. Salary cap in 2010, guys, was $4.1 million. So essentially, as much as we want to take the game forward and make it more professional, it certainly has spiralled out of control, more than doubled in the past decade.
Bulldog, all of a sudden going into Campbelltown in that cold box on the middle of July, sounds all right, doesn't it? I mean, how much are you missing the footy?
Oh, hang on, Bulldog hasn't done that for 13 years.
I try to stick more to Brookvale during the close
to home.
But no, you're right. Look, there's no doubt we're all missing our footy. It's a release. It's an outlet. And it's something that we have in our blood. We've grown up on footy. We've grown up on cricket. But suddenly not to be there, I think everyone's a little bit lost. But look, we've just got to somehow try to push forward and keep the game, you know, at the forefront in terms of media and keep interest there as best we can, albeit it is difficult as a journalist at the moment trying to find some positives.
Mm. Well, Bulldog, been great to get your thoughts as always, mate.
No worries, guys. Thank you. Have a great week and we'll talk next week.
Too good. Dean Bulldog Ritchie there from the Daily Telegraph.